Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue Tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there called go.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Welcome into Danny and Dusty. We are waiting for Dusty Hera to join us momentarily live from Autzen Stadium. He is wrapping up his sideline-y duties, I believe sprinting to the press box.
Yes.
He's going to go full Rocky on this.
Yeah, so he's going to come in short of breath.
Yes, yeah. And you'll hear just how in shape he is.
Yeah.
That's going to be the fun part about
exactly.
This. Until then, we've got a million things to get through today. I teased yesterday afternoon as we closed the show that UConn head coach Danny Hurley would be joining us today. It's going to be tight. So we may have to reschedule because the UConn Huskies do have an exhibition game, and we will be up against it. So we will adjust as necessary, but we will get Coach Hurley here, if not today, and then in the coming days. So I had a moment yesterday, Jeff Rust. I started working out again at the CrossFit gym in Newburgh, which more than two blocks from my house. More than two blocks.
Oh, the one thing.
The one thing in Newburgh, more than two blocks. Actually, it's actually very close, but I got to lean into the bit at this point. Not only was I feeling mildly washed, I looked around the room and one of the instructors, sweet as could be, built like a little Greek goddess. And you're just like, good for you, you know, just Quadzilla, you know. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, she's like, you know, you're doing pretty good, you know, for your age. And she dropped for your age. And I looked around the room, and I was the oldest person in there. And I went, there's 35 people in there. And I went,
yep. Welcome to the olds, my friend.
I was like, okay, how old are you? She's like, I just turned 21. And I'm like, oh, my sweet Jesus. Are you kidding?
Yeah, we're ancient to that.
Yeah, and she's like, well, she's like, it's crazy. She's like, you know, anytime you want to talk about some stuff, she's like, I think it's really cool. You know, you've lived like twice as long as I have. And I'm like, don't say that out loud. What the hell? Why would you say that? And then she dropped a version of like, well, just think about it. Like, you're the oldest one in here, but like, you're in here. That matters. And I'm like, no. There's no backing that truck up. No. We can't try to save this now, right?
Oh, Lord.
And I'm just sitting there like, because as I mentioned before, I'm 40 on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm the youngest of the three of us, I think body-wise, I'm definitely the oldest. But it was just like, It was not bothering me at all until the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And even then, it's not bothering me. It's just that I used to make this joke endlessly in my 20s and early 30s. If I make it to 40, that's life well lived. Like, legitimately, there's a half dozen times in my life that I should have died.
Yeah.
And now that 40's here, and I'm like, I don't want to die yet. I don't.
No, no.
My wife goes, well, you know, 40's the new 30. Oh, that's not the case. That's not the case. That's not happening. I feel old and broken and all those things. But the idea of what this is supposed to be and how this is supposed to go, I am not the first person to turn 40. It's mathematically not true. So I don't know how this is supposed to go, but all I know is I don't like it. And I don't like the youngs reminding me of it before it even happens.
I didn't have a hard time with turning 40, but now that I'm getting closer to 50, that's where it's starting to hit me. Because I'm 48 now.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's just, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
And we are now joined by the illustrious Dusty Hero, live from Monson Stadium up in the press box.
I had to run. I have caught my breath though, so I'm okay. Thank you. I run up a hill. Danny, I do have questions. I know you've probably addressed this. What is going on with your head?
Oh no, I just took the head off.
It is, wow.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
You look like a bear right now. Hey, you look like a bear. I love it. It is. You've got some flow for the people.
It's going.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it's going.
It's blowing. This is something that you got going right now.
Yeah, I do.
Wow. You look like one of those guys where it's like, Bigfoot was spotted. We're going to go live on location. This is the man who saw it. And you're like, yeah.
No, that was just me running around in the wild without a shirt on.
Yeah.
He was not as big as you think he'd be. He had a T-shirt on, though, that was pretty catchy. And they're like, oh, no, that was just Danny talking about rust right now.
100%. They did find an Arctic fox in Portland the other day. Did you see that?
That doesn't seem right.
Yeah. They're from like northern Canada and Alaska. So it was somebody's pet, clearly.
Yikes.
But which you're not allowed to have them, unfortunately, as cute as they are.
Huh.
But yeah, there was an Arctic fox. And the YouTube chats right now, mostly just Rufio saying, put a hat on. I would, but the problem is none of my hats fit. I have one hat right now, my traditional blue St. Louis Cardinals hat. It is the only one that fits that doesn't like constrict my brain right now because I have so much hair.
I think I speak for the people. Constricting your brain necessarily isn't a bad thing, Danny.
No. Well, see, if I constrict the brain, then things might leak out. That's the problem. The control switch might not work. Oh, crap. Yeah. Yeah, that's when it becomes a problem. It's like, oh, no.
I love it. How's everybody doing today?
It's a wonderful day.
We're good? We're good. I came in at the tail end of you're not liking getting old.
Yeah, no, I had
Yeah, welcome to the club.
I know.
None of us like right now.
I had a moment at the gym last night where I was among 30, 35 people. I was the oldest person in there. And the instructor for one of the classes, sweet as could be, she let me know that I was twice her age.
Oh.
And I was, or nearly twice her age. And I was like, don't say that out loud. Please don't do that.
So she was 20?
She just turned 21, yeah.
But you can't, as the instructor, it's not like you are young.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't be age shaming people there. No. Come on, what are we doing?
She immediately backtracked. She's like, look, but you're older, but you're here. Like, that matters.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, okay, that's tough.
Dang,
thanks,
dude. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, she's cutting pretty deep.
Them's the breaks. I've noticed on my way down to Eugene today, people seem to have forgotten to drive.
Oh, I mean the water rained. Hit the road, so they didn't know what to do?
I feel like Oregon is losing its fastball. We're losing its fastball a little bit. That used to be what we do.
Well, but this happens every time it hasn't rained for a while, though.
Yeah, we just need to adapt quicker.
It's,
right?
It's like they get hit with the Men in Black freaking memory wiper.
Yeah.
It's like... What are you doing?
Yeah, I think, but this is why we're here. We are giving the public service announcement, be safe. You people that should not be in the left lane when it's sunny, definitely don't be in the left lane when it's raining. Is that fair? Is that too much to ask?
I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
That's a pretty low bar.
If you shouldn't be in the left lane already, let's not move you over to the left lane when it rains.
So okay? here's the crazy.
Be safe.
In Seattle, man, they pull you over if you're in the left lane and you're not actively passing.
Yes.
That's a real thing. Like you
let's
can't,
do this.
Like I've heard from multiple people that like Washington police target out of state folks for that in particular. They look for the out of state plates. And if you're sitting in the left lane, they just tag you. I had something happen on the way up there that scared the crap out of me.
Okay.
A cop pulled up behind me in the carpool lane. I was in the lane next to the carpool lane. And he's got his lights on. I'm thinking, okay, do I need to get over? Because he's going to get over or whatever. He tucks in behind me, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you're not actually pulling me over. He wasn't. Instead, it was going into Seattle. The big turn that kind of like turns into Seattle before you go up the hill and go over with all the bridges. He starts cutting across all lanes of traffic. Like six lanes, including the HOV lane, swerving back and forth, and slowing down behind me, and like separating the traffic. And I still don't know what the hell he was doing. Like I thought maybe there's a car chase behind me, and maybe they're trying to like compress traffic so he didn't have anywhere to go, or I don't know. But like I've never seen that before. So if you're a cop or if you know what the hell they were doing, please let me know, because I have no idea still what was happening.
I probably would have soiled myself.
Because I saw him in my mirror, and then I saw him dart all the way across like five lanes of traffic and then slowly come back. And then like he just started slowing down more and more and more. I'm just like watching in the mirror behind me is like all of the traffic behind me just gets slowly separated and pulled back. And I still don't know what the hell was going on. It's really weird.
I would like to believe that he just listens to the show and he knew. He was like, hey, look, we got something going on here.
We found the meringue mobile.
Yeah, I think we got probable cause. I've listened to his radio show.
There's got to be something going on there.
I will say on the way up there, I've never on a stretch of freeway seen more people pulled over than I saw that morning. Friday morning, I counted 12 different people pulled over between... Alinea in Seattle.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is nuts.
Vancouver Ford text line, they've got it. It's called a rolling slowdown. They're slowing down traffic to let somebody have a window to get something off the road up ahead.
That's weird because when I got up there, there was nothing up there.
Well, that's because he slowed down the traffic. He did his job.
Well, no. I'm like, but I mean, I was in front of that. I was still going.
Oh, weird.
Meow.
Huh.
Legal
Maybe
speed
just
limit.
Slowing
Legal
everybody speed else limit. Down, just making sure traffic doesn't get too make sure traffic doesn't get too get doesn't get too hot in front of them.
Yeah, it was interesting to say the least. It definitely the sphincter tightened a few, it got ratcheted down a little bit. I was able to grab my seat.
Huh. Wait. What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. That's a sound that I'll never disassociate.
Can't unhear that one.
No, didn't like it. No, didn't like it one bit. Gross. So gross. Makes my skin crawl. All right, we got a lot that has happened today.
Yeah, wide receivers getting traded left, right, and center.
Yeah, I think that's basically where we got to start in this bad boy. One contender and a team that wants to be a contender bolster their wide receiver cores via trades. And hey, how about this? They both played on Monday Night Football last night. That's where we got to start. Davante Adams, Amari Cooper, both on the move and staying within the AFC. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Monday Night Football proved a couple of things, and one of them was that the Bills and Jets need a receiver.
Right.
For the Jets, it's another receiver. And we'll get to Monday Night Football. But for the Bills, it was they need themselves a guy closer to a number one. And today, we got a double dip of trades that bolster both of those teams' receiving cores. Now, remember, we had heard in the preseason, right, the Brandon Ayuk ongoing saga between San Francisco and their wide receiver was that the Browns were interested in getting in on that deal, but as part of that, they wanted to send Amari Cooper to San Francisco and get Brandon Ayuk in return. So we knew Amari Cooper has been available and been available for quite some time. Today, the Buffalo Bills acquire Amari Cooper from the Cleveland Browns, and they give Josh Allen a number one receiver. In return, a third-round pick will go to Cleveland, along with a second or seventh-round pick in 2026. The Bills will get Amari Cooper in a 2025 sixth-round draft pick. Look, if you're Josh Allen, you have got to be loving what your franchise just did for you, because in the first couple of weeks, you got by with a bunch of twos and a budding potential number one in Keon Coleman being your receiving core.
As long as he can keep from dropping the ball.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one, especially for a rookie. Or if you're a veteran like Mike Williams.
Or Amari Cooper, who leads the league in drops.
Yep, but you had Khalil Shakir. He went down and he got dinged up last week and was not available last week, right?
Mm-hmm. And wasn't as much of a factor last night.
And you saw, though, that this offense has its flaws when you have a chink in the armor of a receiving core that's built on a bunch of number twos. Now, that receiving core looks a whole lot better and serviceable when you have Amari Cooper, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid.
And right? Ray Davis off the practice squad.
Ray Davis off the practice squad as your running back, right?
Unbelievable.
But Mac Hollins now can come in, and now you have balance when you go in a four-receiver set, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you are in truly a 10 personnel, you look a lot more comfortable. You look a lot more balanced
scarier
when it's Cooper, Shakir, Coleman, and Hollins out there. I think that's a great move for a team that feels like they have a Super Bowl window that is open right now, and the freight that you had to pay wasn't that high to get Amari Cooper.
No, and I think a big part of that is according to NFL analytics and all of the next-gen stats and everything along those lines, among starting wide receivers, Amari Cooper is dead last. He's had an incredibly poor year. And he's always had a case of the drops, but Deshaun Watson has been so bad, so egregiously bad, that I don't think you can necessarily do a fair statement of Amari Cooper is bad. Now, I've always been a guy who thought Amari was much better as a number two than as a number one, but he's such a significant upgrade over what Buffalo has that I don't think it's going to matter. It also very much feels like Buffalo was in on Devontae and couldn't get it done, and so they went down the path of let's go get Amari Cooper instead.
No doubt about it. Devontae Adams is going to be a New York Jet, and the freight that the Jets had to pay, it wasn't as good as what the Vegas was hoping for, but it could potentially be. Vegas will get a conditional third-round pick, which can be improved to a second-round pick if Devontae Adams is first or second-team All-Pro or is active for the Jets for the AFC Championship game or Super Bowl.
I don't think either of those last two are happening, but the first or second team All-Pro, maybe.
He's going to have some work to do up to that.
But the only thing the only reason I even think that it's a possibility is because Aaron's going to force feed him the ball. Aaron's going to force feed him the ball. We know what that relationship is. And so maybe, but even then it's tough for me to see that happening.
I would say it would be very tough. And now the big question is, look, the Jets got their guy, and they have zero margin for error. We know they have zero margin for error. A lot of folks believe that there still is that window for the Jets to make it to the playoffs this year. Sitting at 2-4, you're looking at, you have to finish 10-7. So that'd have to be an 8-3 finish to the season for the New York Jets, who fired their head coach. They did look more competent offensively last night than they have before.
That Brees Hall guy looked pretty good.
Yeah, that Brees Hall. Yes. By the way, Brees Hall has been good.
Mm-hmm.
And Nathaniel Hackett just didn't use him. If you stare down what they have remaining on the schedule, they got the Steelers, the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Colts, Seahawks, Dolphins, Jags, Rams, Bills, and Dolphins.
I mean, that last game of the season against the Dolphins, like, that's probably going to be a game that's likely deciding whether or not a team is in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, the good thing is they have two games against the Miami Dolphins, and if the Dolphins don't have Tua Tagovailoa, again, those games are very winnable. But they have zero margin for error now. They've got a receiver that Aaron Rodgers, again, trusts, he believes in. This is a weird move for New York. I'm not going to lie. Like,
it is and it isn't, because if you think about it, they've lost three straight games. They're 2-4. You're right, but they've lost three straight games by a combined 7 points.
Yes, but here's where you fire your head coach. You have a GM who everybody around the league thinks is a dead man walking.
Oh, he is.
And then you are going to hitch your wagon to a 30. You're giving up draft capital for the next GM who comes in. And you're going to hitch your wagon to a 32-year-old receiver that has an option year after this year. You're giving up draft capital, and nobody knows if Aaron Rodgers is even going to be back next year either, because Aaron Rodgers is still an effective quarterback. He does not look any semblance of what he once was.
Except for on Hail Marys.
On Hail Marys, he's still really dang good, right? That was incredible. Like,
still got absolute cannon.
There's a knack for just heaving that ball in ball placement on those throws, man. And he's got it still. But if you only have to give up a third-round pick and you don't believe that it'll turn into a second round pick? Like, you're optimistic on the potential of Devontae Adams being first or second team All Pro. His stats aren't going to be there.
It's going to have to be based on reputation.
And reputation right now is if Nico Collins gets back in short order. Mm-hmm. Nico Collins has missed a game and is still, yards-wise, the leading receiver in the National Football League. You got to catch up to Jamar Chase. Chris Godwin's having an incredible year. Justin Jefferson isn't going to be going away. His reputation is incredible across the league. And then you have guys that are putting up pretty funny numbers, like Drake London, mm-hmm. DK Metcalf. You know, there's a lot of ground that he's got to catch up, and, you know, some younger guys that may get a tip of the cap. Now, if Devontae Adams comes in and they go on this stretch and they win 11 games, right, and they go 9-2, and they're like, what changed? Devontae Adams? Yeah. You probably can say that's the mark of an all-pro wide receiver, and he puts up some ridiculous numbers. That'll work out, but as of right now, that second-round pick that the Raiders were hoping for, it didn't come to fruition on the surface, and potentially it could turn into it, but if it does, it'll be at the back end of that second round. Does this signal the Raiders making a rebuild, though? Are they just going to tear it all down? They don't have a quarterback. They traded their number one receiver. Their workhorse running back is now playing in a different uniform from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Are they just going to tear this thing down and start from scratch?
God willing.
Does that mean, though, because this is what I found interesting, is the, remember we talked about this, Schefter goes on McAfee mm-hmm. yesterday.
I'm sure the Schefter's not pulling that out of his rear end.
He floats the Max Crosby earlier than anybody else. Well, now Devontae Adams gets dealt. Does that become more of a realistic possibility of Max Crosby potentially leaving the Las Vegas Raiders?
Look, I am a big proponent of you need good players. But I've also said, the only good players the Raiders have that are like foundational building blocks were Devontae Adams, who's older, Max Crosby, and Brock Bowers. Beyond that, there's nobody on that team that you can't turn and burn and be like, oh God, we don't have X. And that's just the reality of where they're at. And so I would hate to see them trade Max Crosby, but if they got the Herschel Walker, go ahead.
I don't think they're going to get the Herschel Walker.
But you know what I mean? Like, if they got a... I mean, you're talking about a guy who's very likely on a Hall of Fame track. And if you get the King's ransom for him, go for it. Go for it.
Yeah.
I would hate to see him gone in the same way that I hated to see Khalil Mack go.
Yeah, the King's ransom trades in the NFL just don't happen, though. You know?
Yeah.
And this is going to be where you look at with Max Crosby is... He is a guy, he's 27 years old, so he's still young, right? But he's not like a 24, 25-year-old, right? And those two to 3 years make a big difference in the National Football League. This year, for a team, you have the potential out at the end of this year, right? Where that makes him a far more tradable asset this year than any other year. He's making $30 million this year against the cap. It goes to 28 and then 24 over the next 2 years. There is an out, which means teams that may be in cap hell moving forward, see the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
If you need a guy like Max Crosby, you can get him for this year. And you're not going to give up a King's ransom for that guy, though, right? Because you're saying, we're going to let him hit free agency, do his thing. We can't afford to keep him moving forward because of where our contracts are going to be lined up moving forward necessarily. And we need to make a run at a Super Bowl right now. If things work out, we can maybe make some tough decisions and we keep him around, right? And we absolutely love him, and he loves it in Detroit. Where did he go to college again?
Oh, right. Was that Eastern Michigan?
Eastern Michigan.
Mm.
And so everybody's kind of connecting these lines in that if there's a time that the Raiders are going to move him, this would probably be it. Because think of it in these terms. Max Crosby wants to be a Raider. There's no indication he does not.
Yeah, he genuinely loves the organization.
He's stand for Antonio Pierce to get that job as the head coach, and everybody says that he was the driving force in making sure that Antonio Pierce is the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. So you have that connection there, right? But are they going to be in a winning mode by the end of his contract in two seasons?
No,
because they still have the, we don't have a quarterback. We have so many other pieces that we need to fill. It kind of feels like this may be the beginning of turning it over, especially on the heels of the report that Tom Brady, he got pushed through in the ownership. It sounds like he will be the owner, and they're saying, partner owner. He's not the owner.
Yes, he does not have that kind of money. He's got money.
He ain't that rich. But they're saying that he will have a lot of power in the decision-making was the report yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, the line for successful former, you know, GOAT as owner is pretty low. So.
Yep. Man.
Crossing the Michael Jordan line, not difficult.
Oh, boy.
Especially with where the Raiders have been for the last 20 years.
Are you doing okay right now? I feel like I need to. This is like a check.
No. Like I mean,
the Raiders, the USC's not good.
I want them to do this.
Okay.
Like, I want them to. It's not enjoyable. It's like watching the Blazers right now. I know what they need to do. It doesn't mean I want to go cover 82 games of blech. It's the same with the Raiders. It's like, people are like, oh, you know, this weekend, they're like, oh, you weren't real active on Twitter. And number one, I was doing meal prep, so thank you for like watching to see how active I am on Twitter during a USC game, but I was cooking the entire time watching
Well,
the game.
Because, let's be honest, you do have, like, it is, people will seek it out because you are white-knuckling every play, usually.
Yes. Yeah. And the only reason I wasn't this weekend is because I knew what I had going on this weekend, that I'd had to do my meal prep that day, and I had to make sure that I sat down for Oregon, Ohio State, and everything that goes around with that. But also going into this season, I thought that they would win 8 games.
Yeah.
So I never had any like misconception of them being this great team. And with the Raiders, with the exception of them playing the Broncos, just because I like to watch that franchise just toil in despair, I wanted them to lose every single game. Get the best draft odds possible. And it's unfortunate that there's the quarterback class and this class isn't that great. It's not the class that we just had. But, you know.
Are you warming up to Shedeur Sanders?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I kind of am
a little bit.
Look, I think Shedeur Sanders in Las Vegas is a recipe for disaster. And not even with the organization. I'm the city.
See where Deion wants him?
Did he come out? What did he say?
Miami.
Also a disaster. But McDaniels could do some work with him, for sure.
Yeah.
So I can guarantee Deion doesn't want him in Dallas.
I bet you he doesn't. Go, because he'd be backing up Dak at this point. Because good luck getting off of that contract. All right, two blockbuster trades. Hey, there may be more coming down the pipeline. The Bills get Amari Cooper. Devontae Adams goes and reunites with Aaron Rodgers, who, can we call it what it is? Aaron Rodgers is the general manager of the Jets right now, kind of acting as the owner of the Jets right now. It's just he's getting all his friends back together.
I mean, if you could, wouldn't you?
If I could, yeah. Yeah. Everybody, right? I can't believe he's doing this.
I'm like, what do you mean?
Well, no, it shouldn't be, I can't believe Aaron Rodgers is doing this. It should be, I can't believe, but it's totally believable. The New York Jets are allowing this to happen, right?
Like, yes.
It should, like, the player, dude, if you could hook up all of your friends, you probably would too.
Yeah.
I think everybody in that position would do the same thing Aaron Rodgers is. It's the, hey, what about this team that is allowing it to happen? That's the sticky situation. We could see more trades coming down the pipeline. 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. We will get to some of your feedback as the show goes along. That's how you can engage with us. Also on the YouTube chat, youtube.com/1080am, the fan where the party people party hard. Let's get to that Monday Night Football game, though. Both these teams looked at their rosters and said, yeah, we need receivers after last night's game. Kickers and refs, man.
Mm.
Kickers and refs. Here's Rust with SportsCenter. Bills beat the Jets last night, 23-20 on Monday Night Football. An exciting clunker?
Yeah, for sure. Multiple doinks?
Yeah, kickers, man.
That wind had to have been swirling, like, just viciously. You could see the ball in the air just going every which way.
Yeah, that's brutal. And, you know, the one thing that makes you kind of believe that the wind was playing such a big factor is it wasn't just one kicker. It was both.
It was
of them.
Both kickers. I mean, you could see it when they would kick the ball. It wasn't like the natural spin and like kind of course correction type stuff. It would just knuckleball through the air. And you're like, good Lord.
But this is the thing about the NFL especially, is that kicking has gotten so good
that you just expect 50 yarders to go in.
Anything inside of 50 is automatic. Supposed to be automatic now. And we saw under 50, you know, the 43-yarder at the end, you know, hits the crossbar, which is a weird thing to see in this iteration of the NFL. But, you know, kickers have gotten really good, and we have come accustomed to seeing them just be automatic. And you think about the shoulda, coulda, wouldas of that game for the New York Jets. I mean, my goodness, it is tough living out there to be a Jets fan when you leave, you know, 6 points on the board with missed field goals. And also, on top of that, you end the game on an interception where your receiver, Mike Williams, slips and falls, and the DB comes over the top and makes a truly incredible play.
And they said he ran the wrong route on top of that.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, the bus driver that he is, holy guacamole. I mean, is that even throwing a guy under the bus, or is that just like...
I think it's a guy who called Devontae and said, don't worry, the trade's coming, and knew going into the press conference that he could absolutely just... over Mike Williams.
That's like veering off the road in the bus and running him over. But that was the thing about the Devontae Adams trade, is that 100% Aaron Rodgers knew Devontae Adams was going to be a Jet, because they said he's already in New Jersey this morning. And so that doesn't happen unless that thing is signed, sealed, delivered. And they're just sitting there and waiting to break the news to everybody. But when you have a game like that, for being a Jets fan, you only go 1 of 4 in red zone opportunities. You miss 2 field goals. You have a chance at the end of the game to either put yourself in position to tie it, which I don't think anybody feels like being confident that Greg Zuerlein would have been able to tie that game with a field goal. But you had yourself within striking distance and plenty of time on the clock before Aaron Rodgers to work on a short field. That's a tough one, man. That's a tough pill to swallow. And just think of how differently we think of them if you're talking about a 3-3 New York Jets team, as opposed to now 2-4 and
a 3-3 Bills team.
Yeah, and losing head to head in that matchup as the season goes on.
And the Bills would be the losers of 3 straight. Now we're talking about what happened to the Bills and blah blah blah.
No doubt about it, but the ref show is also a problem.
Okay, would that personal foul, unnecessary roughness flag, was the most egregious flag I have seen in football in quite some time. He was trying to go for the strip. He was 100% unequivocally. There is no other way that you can go about that play. He did not try to land on him. You can literally see his arm down in between Rodgers' chest and the ball trying to rip it out. I have no idea how you can throw that flag right there. And then to have the rules analyst come on air and tell Troy Aikman after he's like, that is terrible, that is awful, and go, well, actually, Troy, and you could just hear Troy Aikman, you could hear him seethe to the point of wanting to reach through the headphone and strangle that man. This is a quarterback who got murdered in his career.
And this is, look, 22 penalties, 204 yards in that game.
Disgusting.
And Aaron Rodgers, after the game, said exactly what everybody else was feeling.
Hang on here. Finding.
Maybe.
Was this on the dock?
Yes, it was.
Okay,
let me go. Yeah. Yeah. We had Aaron Rodgers, though. He even admitted, like, it was a game, and we don't have the audio. It's fine, Russ.
Sorry, man.
But Russ, or Rodgers, was saying after the game that, like, the refs took over, even that call. We had a quarterback in Troy Aikman that you were talking about, saying he was seething at this.
Yeah.
Like, Aikman was like, I got killed my entire career. Look, Troy Aikman probably plays a few more years if he didn't get hit the way
he did. Oh, the first 5 years he was in the NFL, he got absolutely
destroyed. He kept getting his bell rung. And when you have quarterbacks even saying, dude, the ref show was incredible, it was throughout the entirety of the game, too. Like, this is...
There was a holding call, and I believe it was in the red zone, that I'm sitting there, I'm like, I guess, like, sure, I guess you could throw a flag on that, but why? There was no reason for that.
I think one of the issues that we continue to kind of see with NFL officiating, especially, is that it gets to the point where these crews, they call a tight game early. And in basketball, you see this a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Where they'll adjust and they'll adapt. And the first half can be officiated a little bit differently than the second half, right? Where if there's a lot of whistles, they'll say, whoa, all right, we need to calm this down. In the NFL, you almost get the opposite effect of, if we're going to be calling things early, we are going to come over the top as the game goes on. And we are going to call everything. And I think that's what we saw last night.
Which is horrendous. And also...
Yep. And they want to do it to keep it even, right?
Yeah.
But there's 22 flags, 11 on each team.
No, and that's the thing is, like, I thought there were a couple makeup calls for sure. I thought there were a couple where they got too greedy with their flags. And then they let stuff that they probably should have called go. And that's the problem, is you start going tit for tat, and it's just like, that's when it spirals out of control. And this is my own little personal belief. I feel like there's maybe a few refs that feel like they need to be a part of the game. It feels like these new crews, there's a lot of new crew chiefs, there's a lot of new white hats, there's a lot of new refs in general in the NFL, and the same thing is true of in the NBA. And they don't have the natural feel that comes from 15 years in the league. Of like, okay,
for sure.
Just... chill out. And a few refs, I think, like being on TV a little too much.
Well, in that's an interesting note there, because the longer that you are in the NFL or an NBA official, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like being a quarterback, where
you've seen it all.
You've seen so many plays. You've seen so many, everything that can happen in a football game, if you've been doing it for 15 years, you've seen it before.
Yeah.
But also, you get to know the players get to know you, and there's a level of respect, right? I think the one that really sticks out to me is, remember Cam Newton was like in his second or third year in the league, and he tried to get a call from an official, and he said, yeah, you're not there yet. And that was like a big story.
Yes.
That you can't get these calls yet. You build up a rapport and a reputation with players and coaches alike. And I think officials, when they are young, they're trying to establish themselves, because it is a slippery slope where players and coaches all of a sudden think that they can say whatever they want, they can do whatever. And when you're a young guy, they're just trying to lay down the law and say, no, this is how I'm going to do it. But then as they get to know the guys a little bit more and you're around more, all of a sudden things start to soften up and you become truly a better official because of it.
And you're seeing that from the league meeting today. You had Troy Vincent come out and say that the aggressive, violence related celebrations are, it's a lot like video games cause violence type stuff. And I'm like, we're really doing this. Are we?
Yeah.
Like, look, The college player...
The guy doing
the Tommy gun on the guy over the top of him in college football. That was a bit much.
Let's not bring out our AK to celebrate your sack there, Pally. But the way that they're handling it is a little too egregious.
Yeah, it's a little too like, okay, let's... You're not... He very much was like, we need to set a prime example for the youth. And it's like, okay, really? I don't know. Maybe... I don't know, Henry Ruggs going off and drunk driving and killing somebody. Maybe you should deal with that stuff. Maybe your players having, you know, spiking cases of domestic violence. Maybe deal with those things and not really worry about the flags that come out about celebrations. If some guy goes full Any Given Sunday and wants to crawl and throw a grenade, fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, this, it's just, again, it's the oversaturation of, like, focusing on the things that don't matter.
Yep. 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 All right. Monday night clunker, but an exciting one. Came down to the end.
I mean, Josh, I thought it was a good game in the sense of, like, it was close the entire time. So, yeah. Sure. And Josh Allen made insane plays.
Especially the one to seal it. Did you see the Rex Ryan clip? Rex Ryan was on the Manning cast.
Yes.
And Rex Ryan is like, Josh Allen's going to run here. I love Rex Ryan.
He's a football guy.
He's like, this is what he does. And then sure enough, there goes Josh Allen to run, seal the game. It's like, well, yeah, he still does know something.
The play of the game was Josh Allen rolling to his right into his own end zone and uncorking it 60 yards in the air and dropping it in the basket.
Yeah, you know what?
Okay.
Maybe Troy Vincent needs to do that, because that's not setting a good example for the youth either, because every kid is going to be like, I can do that.
I can roll out and go into my own end zone, plant a foot and fire it 60 yards in the air like it's nothing.
Like, high school coaches across the country are like, great, now we're going to have to, first we get them in Holmes no look passes, then we got Kelsey lateraling it everywhere, now I need to put this in check too.
Oh, you had Peyton Manning.
I love that.
Were you watching the Manning cast during that part of it?
Yeah, no.
He goes, throw it away, Josh, throw it away, Josh, throw it away, Josh, throw it away, Josh. Oh. And Eli just starts laughing like, throw it away, huh, Josh?
Yeah. Dude has a howitzer for an
arm. I don't even think it's arguably. I think when you have the biggest arm in the NFL, you're allowed to do things that other people aren't allowed to do.
No doubt about
it. That's just how it goes. And for him to get that throw, both Allen and Rodgers to complete passes that were 60 plus yards in the air in that weather with the wind blowing like that is absolutely bonkers.
That was bonkers.
To put the ball that high up in the air and to complete those throws is just nuts.
Yep. All right. Hey, we've got a ton more to get to. We will have a coming up a little bit later. We know one place Bill Belichick won't be coaching.
Ah.
Yeah, that was interesting. Hmm. We also have Dan Lanning not taking it to his deathbed.
Mm.
In fact, quite the opposite of taking it to his deathbed. He unveiled it last night. But where we got to go next, you know what? I'm going to do this for you because I think this is big news.
Mm-hmm.
There is an NBA injury that is not surprising, but could be a sign of things to come.
Massive.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan. This is a big one, Mr. Meringue.
Indeed.
And no, I am not talking about the Portland Trailblazers signing James Bonite to an Exhibit 10 contract.
Yeah, no, he's going to be a part of the remix, but that is not the big news you're talking about.
No, it's not. I think that is noteworthy, though, because of what the remix are trying to do and the guy trying to find his way.
Former lottery pick.
Sneaky little addition. It is Paul George has a hyperextended knee. Now.
And it looked nasty.
Gnarly, dude. The good news is Nick Nurse said today everything did seem to check out okay. Do you buy that?
Yes.
This is Paul George.
They've said there's no structural damage. But yeah. He is shut down for the rest of the preseason, as is Joel Embiid, which isn't a big deal. I think the Sixers only had one more game left. So,
like, but the Blazers seem like they just started on Friday.
Yeah, they did.
The Sixers are almost done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Blazers do play tomorrow on Friday, so they're cranking them out here quick too. But remember, I think we tend to forget. Paul George snapped his leg like a toothpick.
I will never forget that.
The Team USA practice where
under the stanchion in Vegas.
And it ended up resulting in a rule change that pushed the stanchion back further. They redesigned those basketball hoops and pushed them back because of that. And it's still, it doesn't get talked about in the more egregious injuries, but I remember you saw the bone and it was, oh no. And for Paul George to come back and be the player that he has been, which is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Do not look. Paul George can be corny and frustrating and irritating. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. There is no question about it. He has been incredible. And that's with an injury that caused him to miss basically a year and a half.
Yeah, we have this. We've had this conversation several times. Young guys in the NBA, they say they modeled their game after Paul George.
Yeah, Miller, Ace Bailey, and there's somebody else coming up in this class that also said that Paul George is the guy that they kind of modeled their game after.
And that is something that I think we don't give enough credence to as fans. Well, I think the teams that he has played for have kind of...
Yeah, Pacers, Clippers, Thunder. The Thunder team got... you know, ceremoniously wiped out by Damian Lillard. Those Indiana teams were plucky, but it's Indiana, so you're not getting that coverage. And those Clippers teams have underwhelmed because of injuries.
But his game is fluid. His game is...
Oh, it's pretty.
Just...
It's aesthetically pleasing. He is the Brandon Roy of small forwards.
Yeah. That's a great comp.
He's just a bigger version of that athletics... Like, people love the idea of Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was horribly inefficient. Paul George, do you know what his shooting splits are for his career?
No.
He is a 44-39-85 shooter.
Damn.
Okay. And that's on high volume. You know what his career numbers are?
No.
21-6-4.
That's pretty good.
Really, really, really good player. And you take a look at his last couple of years, and he's basically 24-7-5.
Yeah, I think the big thing here, though, is that a guy who is oft injured, he has that label on him.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even to game one of 82, and you have already an injury happening. And all eyes are going to be on the Philadelphia 76ers this year with Joel Embiid saying, you know, he doesn't feel like he'll ever play in a back-to-back again throughout his career.
They're wiping out back-to-backs is what he said.
Good for him.
We talked about this with Joel Embiid when they made the move for Paul George in that, it has to be about getting him to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only goal. The regular season stuff doesn't matter. The awards don't matter. Like, he's going to physically fall off a cliff.
Yep.
And so this is what they have to do.
All right. Keep an eye on it. It could play a massive factor and a big role moving forward in the NBA, and we're not even in the regular season. All right, Dan Lanning didn't take it to the grave. He didn't even take it to Tuesday. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.